Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase studio. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We're speaking with Tom Weitzel. He's the police chief in Riverside. We're talking about this issue of the dispute between the Trump administration and the Justice Department versus elements of Illinois, the Emanuel administration, Cook County, and the issue of sanctuary status, as it's being called, and how that could affect suburban police departments when it comes to grant funding. And, Chief, as you alluded to with the Trust Act, I think, you know, and again, it's become kind of a big political issue as we get into the gubernatorial campaign season among some elements, some critics of this. But I'm curious, I mean, for the most part, it was my understanding that chiefs of police were supportive of the Trust Act.
That's correct. In fact, the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police was in support of it and did support it. And that one of the main reasons we supported it is because we're already doing, almost all law enforcement agencies are already doing what the Trust Act now codifies that we do and puts down a set of procedures of what we can and can't do when it comes to individuals that come into our custody who may have an immigration detainer, which is different than a warrant.
And I want you to explain that too, because that's really kind of what the issue was, is that a warrant, you're holding them. That's a judicial issued warrant, but the detainer, that was the one where issue was being taken with.
Yeah, correct. The detainer is not a warrant. It's meaning it's not signed by a judge. The detainer is signed by an immigration hearing officer, and it does not require that law enforcement hold them against their will or hold them until ICE picks them up, and which a warrant would do. But these immigration holds, as they're referred to in law enforcement, which is an immigration detainer, says, hey, when you're done with the individual that you are processing on your arrest, we'd ask that you hold them for up to 48 hours on the detainer until we, ICE, can come and pick them up. And that you cannot do that. All the law enforcement agencies I know was not doing that. But now the Trust Act says you can't do that. You can hold them on warrants, and there are ICE warrants that are out there. I mean, ICE does issue actual warrants. It's just that they're so far and few between the number of warrants that they issue for the number of detainers that they issue. So we're already not doing that. My agency has never been doing that. The West Suburban Chiefs that I deal with, they've never been doing that. But the Trust Act just made it the law, and now it's down on paper. So, I mean, I don't understand. When I wrote a letter myself to the Attorney General in Washington, to Jeff Sessions, and said, by withholding grant funds, with your dispute nationwide and more so with the Emanuel administration, put politics aside, you're affecting everyday police officers and the job they do and the services we deliver to our communities.
And the fact is, a warrant, that's through a judicial process, and there has to be basically a judge finds cause for the issuance of a warrant.
Absolutely. So some law enforcement officer, in that case would be an ICE agent, would have to go in front of a judge, in this case a federal judge, tell why the warrant should be issued, lay your case out, and the judge would have to decide. That doesn't happen in immigration detainers. They're administrative detainers asking law enforcement to cooperate, not ordering law enforcement to cooperate through a judicial warrant.
Has in these, I know this was a kind of a federal case on the most immediate here in Chicago on the issue of these Justice Department grants, but have the suburban police chiefs or the Chiefs of Police Association weighed in as a friend of the court in these cases?
They have at the national level. So the International Association of Chiefs of Police have weighed in. On the local level in Illinois here, the individual police chiefs and individual police associations throughout the state have written letters to both the Trump administration and Jeff Sessions, giving our position on why these grants should be allowed to go through. But on a more of a global, yes, the international chiefs have weighed in through their opinions through the Friends of the Court briefs that have been filed behalf of law enforcement nationwide. Because, you know, the Byrne Assistance grants are nationwide. They go to local police, metropolitan, college police agencies. They go to tribal police agencies. So there's not a single law enforcement agency in the United States that doesn't benefit from those judicial grants.
Chief, I want to, just the couple of minutes we have remaining, I want to switch gears here a little bit. And we've talked in the past about the issue of the opioid crisis that has just swept this nation completely. And obviously, states trying to respond, municipalities trying to respond to it. I was wondering if you can tell me how you assess the situation. Is it deepening? Is it getting worse? Is the problem just spiraling out of control?
In my opinion, it is getting worse, and I think law enforcement now is just playing catch up. And it's funny that we would be talking about this, or really, really more appropriate, because grant funding plays a huge role in how law enforcement is addressing the opioid situation. Because we're applying for grant funds for everything from Narcan kits to preventative training to officers going into schools and college campuses. Those can be put in through the burn grant. But as far as the getting out of control, it is easy. And you know, some of your listeners may think, oh, this is something that takes place in an inner city in the back alleys and stuff. Well, I can assure you that this crisis is happening in the suburbs too, and it's happening in our homes. My own agency, for example, small suburban community like Riverside was 9,000, beautiful community designed by a guy named Frank, a lot of Frank Lloyd Wright homes. Fred Olmsted designed the landscape. We've used our Narcan kits 6 times already to save lives of overdose victims, and all of those have taken place in homes. They're not out on the public street. They're not out at, they're not at the schools. They've taken place where we've received calls of usually heroin-addicted people who have passed out or who have overdosed, and their parents call us. And these kids are between 16 and maybe 25 years of age. And they're taking place in the bedrooms in the basement of these homes. So if it's happening in the suburbs, I mean, it's not just an inner-city problem. I'm sure you know that, but it's happening throughout the nation.
It's not just an inner-city problem. It's not just a problem among the poor. It's everywhere.
It is, and we're playing catch-up now by being trained, by giving the equipment. My own Narcan kits that I have, every single police car in Riverside has one, was fully funded from a grant from an organization in Riverside called the Riverside Women's Junior Charity. They paid for everything. And they're not cheap. The ones the police use are pretty expensive in the carrying cases and the replacement costs. So in a lot of suburbs, too, the police end up being on scene before paramedics just by the nature of our job, that the officers are out on the street on patrol. So in small suburban communities, there's a very high likelihood that when you call for an ambulance for an overdose, that the police officer will be first on scene. So now we're starting to play catch up and have the right equipment and the training we need to address the crisis. And you know, you may have known this. I'll give this. This really upset me. About 6 months ago, Riverside, we had a 19-year-old that we saved from a overdose, and it was locally publicized in Riverside. And to my surprise, I received a lot of angry emails and voicemails from people who thought we should not be expending resources and deploying these Narcan kits to save people who are going to, in their opinion, just go right back to the same thing. And I was astounded that I would receive these negative phone calls. So I don't think people, we need to educate better. You know, if it was your son or daughter, I'll bet you wouldn't be calling the local police chief in your community saying, I don't think you should carry these, because they actually save lives.
Perhaps another sign of the civility or lack thereof that exists in society today. Chief Weitzel,
agree more, Rick.
Thank you so much for joining me this morning on the Sunday Spin. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
We'll be back with more right after this.